All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. We're going to talk today about how to be an overcomer. Children's Church. All right. Children's Church 2 through 12, 2 through 5, and 6 to 9. 2 through 9. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Been just doing a little series here on pastor's picks. These are some of sermons that I felt blessed people over the last 26 years, and some have requested sermons to be preached as well. This one was not a request. This is my desire to preach this one to you. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And then if you would turn to the book of Revelation, please. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today. My desire, Lord, is for everyone here to become an overcomer if they are not already. And there's probably some areas in our life where we have been overcome, some areas where we're just sustaining. But Lord, you want us all to be overcomers. So show us areas tonight where maybe we can improve on, that we can be an overcomer. And I pray, Lord, that we would storm the gates of hell and that we would learn to be offensive and take the battle where it needs to be. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And I also, Lord, I pray for a couple of people that are in the hospital today. We pray for Taylor Ingley, Lord, that you would work a miracle of healing in his life. Give these doctors wisdom. Pray for Betty Bagley today, also in the hospital. Lord, we ask for a touch from heaven for her. And any others, Lord, that need healing, Lord, we look to you today as the great physician, the great healer. And we lift them up today in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a story that took place on June 27th, 1976. Many of you remember it. The United States was 7 days away from celebrating her 200th birthday. It was on a Sunday. And there was a commercial Air France jet going to Tel Aviv, Israel from Paris with a stop at Athens, Greece. It landed in Athens, Greece, let off some of its passengers and took on some new passengers. Several terrorists got on board. And after the plane left the runway, the terrorists overtook the aircraft. Instead of flying east, they turned the plane due south. They flew to Libya, Omar Gaddafi's area. The plane landed there and refueled. Then it continued south into the continent of Africa, all the way to Uganda. It landed there with 250 passengers on board, including 12 crew members. They landed on an old runway and put the passengers in an old airport terminal in the city of Entebbe. The new airport was adjacent to the old one. Through the course of the week, people began to realize what was going on. Within a couple of days, the terrorists started sending some of the passengers back home. Israel was very concerned because they realized that no Jews were being released. There was about 100 Jews on that flight. The world said to Israel, "Don't worry and don't get excited. We're going to try to take care of this diplomatically. Please don't do anything. Don't try anything drastic." Israel said, "Okay." That was their plan A. They would wait for diplomacy to get their people back, but they were already working on plan B to get the people back. We'll finish the story later. I know you like that. The word overcome means God's people can conquer. God's people can conquer. It means that they can and will prevail. It means that they can walk away in victory. And as we preach on overcoming this morning, let's consider, first of all, the goal of the Christian should not be just to survive. The goal of the Christian should be to overcome. There are three different areas here. There are people who are overcomers, there are people who are survivors, and there are people, unfortunately, who have been overcome. The worst thing is for a Christian in this life to be overcome. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome." Say those two words with me this morning, "and overcome." The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. I'm sure that we have all seen Christians who have been overcome. And they started out well, but they've been defeated by the world, the flesh, and the devil. They used to be in church. They used to serve God. They used to witness to the lost. They used to read their Bible. They used to pray. The reason that we say they used to is because they have been overcome. Then there are the survivors. They have not been overcome, but they are not overcomers either. In 2 Kings chapter 16 and verse 5, we see, "Then Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, king of Ramallah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to war. And they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. So the enemy did not conquer Ahaz, but in return, Ahaz didn't conquer the enemy either." God's people were simply survivors. It was a draw. It wasn't a checkmate. It was a stalemate. It wasn't victory. It wasn't defeat. It was simply survival. You know that many sermons that preachers preach is for their people simply to survive. We direct our messages at helping people survive. When we preach messages that say, "Don't do this, don't do that," we are trying to get you to not be overcome by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And there are some very important don'ts in the Christian life. You know, don't let your heart become cold. Don't become rebellious. Don't become like the world. Don't run with the wrong crowd. Don't become bitter. Don't get angry. Don't let pride take over your life. These are all items that are necessary to help you survive. But survival does not produce an overcomer. And the goal of the Christian life is not simply to survive. The goal of the Christian life is to overcome. That is the goal. And the Greek word means to conquer, to prevail, to carry off the victory. And we see this in Luke chapter 11, verses 21 and 22, when it says, "When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils." I want to challenge you to be an overcomer, who takes the armor from the enemy and claims the enemy's spoil. Just like David did when he fought Goliath, and then he came and he took off Goliath's armor and he divided the spoils. God, this is what God means for all of us, to be overcomers, to be victorious, to be triumphant. A young person survives when he refuses to become rebellious, but he overcomes when he honors his parents. A wife survives when she doesn't dishonor her husband. She overcomes when she reverences and respects her husband. A husband survives when he doesn't become bitter toward his wife. He overcomes when he loves her as Christ loved the church. We survive when we come to church instead of staying home or doing something else. We overcome when we come to church and we minister to others. We survive when we don't read or watch filthy things, but we overcome when we read our Bible and we pray. We survive when we don't let others pull us down. We overcome when we lift other people up or help them to become what God wants them to be. We survive when we don't get proud. We overcome when we take on the character of humility. A parent survives when he or she doesn't get angry or provoke their children to anger. They overcome when they give their children praise. Brothers and sisters survive when they don't fight. They overcome when they build and encourage each other, lifting each other up. We survive when we don't cause division among each other. We survive when we bring about reconciliation. We survive when we don't get offended when somebody hurts us. We overcome when we bless and love our offenders. Too many Christians are happy just surviving. God, deliver us from being simply survivors. Help us to be overcomers. Jesus told a parable about a man who had 5 talents, and another man 2 talents, and a third man 1 talent. The master came back and called for an accounting, and the man with the 5 talents said that he had gained 5 more. The man with the 2 talents said he gained 2 more. The man with the 1 talent simply survived. He said, I had 1, but I knew that you were a hard man, so I buried the 1 talent that I have. Here it is. God was not pleased with that 1 man. God doesn't want us simply to remain the status quo. God doesn't simply want us to survive. God wants us to use our talents and be overcomers. The goal of the Christian life, again, is not just to survive. The goal of the Christian life is to be an overcomer. Second point of the message this morning is this truth is especially true for young men. Young men, you need to use the strength of your youth and be conquering. John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. How many of you are young men here today? Come on. This truth is especially true for you. Aren't you as young as you feel? No, well, some days I don't know. Some days I feel young, some days I feel old then. I don't know. I think a young man here could be a young person like aged 12 and up. So I think there are probably more young men than they realize. You might be a young man or a young lady, and what you need to do is overcome in your youth. Because there may be things that keep coming around to defeat you the rest of your life. And we've talked about this, how David killed Goliath when he was but a young man, probably a teenager. He killed him in the strength of his youth. But you know that David fought 5 giants in his life. And the giants he didn't defeat in his youth, he had to defeat later on. These giants kept coming back and coming back and coming back. And that's why God tells us to be overcomers in our youth. You can make wrong decisions in your youth that will haunt you for the rest of your life. So I want to challenge you young guys, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You are the Lord's mighty warriors. And young ladies, these warriors are going to need spouses someday. Someday they're going to need godly wives to encourage them. And at your age, perhaps you don't even realize the power that you have in this area of encouragement. The encouragement that you could give to your husband, in some ways, you can really make your husband. Right? Sometimes you can break him too. But your husband has greater potential with you than he has without you. And you can help your husband be an overcomer and a conqueror. Here's the third point of the message today. A question that we need to answer. How can you be an overcomer? I don't want to be overcome. I don't want to be simply a survivor. So how can I be an overcomer? Well, the first one is really basic. It's get saved. Because if you are not saved, you are already in Satan's grasp. You have already been overcome. And he does whatever he wants with you. The second thing is to realize the resources that were given to you at the moment of salvation. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When you invited Christ into your life to become your Savior, you took upon a force that is greater than the world, greater than your flesh, and greater than the devil himself. Would you stop and think about that? Think about who is living inside of you this morning. I'm talking about right now. Who is living inside of you? I'm going to pick on Julie today. Julie, would you come up here? This is what happens if you move away. You get picked on.
If I come back.
All right. Now, Julie is a believer. Julie has invited Jesus Christ into her heart and life. You realize this morning all of the resources that are in her today, that are available to her because Jesus is there. Greater is He that is in her than he that is in the world. Jesus is in her. Consider this. The Creator of everything is inside of her. The God who knows all things, the God who sees all things, is inside of her. How can she not be an overcomer? God's grace. I like the definition of grace, that little acrostic. God's riches at Christ's expense. All of the riches of God, all of the riches that Christ has gained is inside of her, helping her to be an overcomer. And so God will help you, Julie, in your life, not just to be a survivor. God forbid that you be overcome in any area, but not just simply to be a survivor, but an overcomer as a wife, as a parent, as a believer in every area of your life. Let's give Julie a hand. We're probably not done with you yet, Julie. We'll call you back up here later. All we need to do is tap into these resources that are in us. Revelation 17:14 says, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful." Notice that the Lamb, another word for Jesus, He's with us, He's inside of us, and they that are with Him are faithful. We are overcomers. The third thing, and how you can be an overcomer, is to exercise faith. Exercise faith. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. "For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Now, faith is using God's power to put into practice that which you know God is wanting you to do. It's saying, God wants me to do this. This is what God wants me to do. And if God wants me to do it, I just need to step out in faith. I just need to step out and do it. You put your one foot in front of the other, and you start moving in the right direction, and God will help you do it. You need to witness to somebody. You know what you need to do? You need to step out in faith and open your mouth. And the Holy Spirit will come, and the Holy Spirit will help you as your witness. You need to pray for somebody. You know what you need to do? You need to start opening your mouth, and the Holy Spirit will begin to pray. Begin to pray with you and through you and for you. You need to come to the altar. What you need to do is take the first step, and God will give you the courage and the grace to take the rest of the steps and to walk down to the altar. You need to stand up for something. You need to speak out against something. You just need to start doing it, and God will come and help you become that overcomer. You see, God always waits for us to take the first step. God always waits for us to step out in faith before He comes with power. You don't believe me? When the Israelites came to the Red Sea, the Egyptian army was chasing them. They had the army behind them. They had the Red Sea before them. What are they going to do? I want you to know that the Red Sea did not open up for them when they were miles away. The Red Sea didn't see them coming. Well, I better open up a path here for the Israelites to cross over. It wasn't until Moses lifted that rod over the Red Sea, right, that the waters parted and they could walk over on dry ground. We see it again with Joshua, in the book of Joshua, and they came to the Jordan River and they had to come into the promised land. And the banks of the Jordan were flooded. It was a time of the year when the river was flooded. And when the Israelites got to that river, the waters didn't part until, you know what happened? The priests were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, stepped into the water, and when they stepped into the water, then the waters rolled back and all the people were able to cross on dry ground. What I'm telling you this morning is if you want to be an overcomer, you're going to have to step out in faith. But that very same faith will help you to be an overcomer. So are you willing to do that? And that's sometimes where it's hard. I'm not willing to take that first step. But until we do that, we won't experience the power of God to overcome. How can you be an overcomer? Number four, seek and find the help of others. Overcomers don't overcome by themselves. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Jesus said, "And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now please understand something. The picture is not that we are standing there waiting for the gates of hell to attack. The picture is that the church is storming the gates of hell. We are moving against the gates of hell. But people are not moving against the gates of hell by themselves. Julie, I need you back. Five other people to come up here and help us out. If you don't come, I'll start drafting. Is there, by any chance, we have a teenager? Or, okay, that's fine, Tanya. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, simply because you came on this side. I hate to do this to you, Fran. And I was wondering who I was going to pick for this awful job. You get to be the demon. Here's the gates of hell over here. Could you come down here? Okay, you Christians, you come down here. And here's Julie. Poor Julie. The devil is attacking her. You know, with thoughts, temptations. And the devil is just coming with an onslaught against her. And you know, I shouldn't say the devil, because I don't think most of us actually engage the devil. But he does send his demons. And maybe there's even two demons. Do you feel alone up here? You want somebody else? You're okay. So what happens is that these demons come and they attack the believer. But what happens now? What happens if the church gathers together? Yeah. Oh, is right. That's what the demon thinks. Uh-oh. Because here we've got four other people, and you can multiply that by the size of the church, with Jesus in them. And if one person is great because of Christ, greater than the world and the flesh and the devil, what happens if the church gets together and they all attack the gates of hell? See, this is what I believe, what it means to attack the gates of hell. I believe the church should be on the offensive, because if the church is on the offensive attacking the gates of hell, the demons don't have time. They don't have time to come and test these Christians and tempt these Christians? They're too busy defending their own gates. See, this is why we will never, ever succeed in the Christian life if we are just simply survivors. If we're just maintaining my stand. You know, thank God for Julie that she can take that stand against the pressures of the world. But isn't it so much better if Julie can join forces with other believers and attack, go on the offensive? So many Christians are living on the defensive. But take the initiative, take the battle to Satan himself, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. This is why you need a church, because you need other believers to come alongside of you and to strengthen you and help you. Can I be honest with you? There are times when I simply am surviving. Yes, I am your pastor. And there are times when I simply am surviving. But thank God, there's people here that I can call. There's people that call me, text me, send cards, whatever. That I know that I can call, or I know that they are praying for me. And that lifts me from being a survivor to an overcomer. I'm not just surviving in this situation. I'm going to take the offensive. I'm not going to be overcome by evil, but I am going to overcome evil with good. Thanks. You can give them a hand. Appreciate them. I hope I'm making sense this morning. Maybe you're here today and you feel defeated. Let me tell you, you don't have to be defeated. Let me help you be an overcomer. Nobody should have to live the Christian life alone. Nobody should have to face evil alone. Nobody should have to feel that way. You know, even Moses needed help, right? As long as he lifted his hands in prayer, Israel was winning the battle. But when he let down his hands, they would start to lose. So Aaron and Hur came along and they propped up Moses' arms. This is a picture of what we should be doing for one another, lifting each other up, supporting each other. And even if you're not physically around them, you can be praying for them. And as long as Moses held up his hands, there was victory in the valley. But when he let down his hands, God's people started to be defeated. God's people started to die. Do you know that when you are with others, you are either lifting them up or pulling them down? Why don't we decide right here and now we're going to do the right thing? We're going to stand together. We're going to lift each other up, and we're going to stand and we're going to fight against the devil. And we're going to have victory. We're going to have spiritual victory, and we're not going to pull each other down. But we're together going to storm the gates of hell, and we shall overcome. You know, if America can pull together and stand against the terrorists, why can't Christians stand against the world's greatest terrorist, Satan, and overcome him? Why not stand together? The fifth point of the message this morning, how you can be an overcomer, is to discover, believe, live, and spread God's truth. Discover, believe, live, and spread God's truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 5 says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." By the way, you know what strongholds are? They are lies. Lies that we believe. Pulling down strongholds. Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So what we need to do is discover God's truth and weapons. Cast away wrong philosophies and traditions. Live by the truth of God's word and spread those truths. For example, the world says evolution. The Christian says creation. The world says homosexuality is a right. The Christian says God said one man and one woman. The world says abortion is a mother's right. The Christian says abortion is murder, and how about the right of the unborn? The world says all of these things that contradict God's truth. And so we have to combat the lies with truth. Can I have Jackson? You want to come up here this morning? He saw me when I came in with my sword. He said, "Pastor, you got a dagger." I said, "Yeah, that's right." Hey, Jackson, we're going to let this sword be the truth, okay? And if I've got the truth in my hand, what happens if I'm holding that truth kind of lightly? Can you knock that sword out of my hand? But if this is truth, I better hold on to it tightly. Right? I don't want to lose it. I don't want to ever let the truth go. In fact, I'm going to hold on to it with both hands. Jackson, if I'm holding on to this with both hands, can you knock it out of my hand? You can't, can you? But what happens if you hold the truth? Hold it real tight. Got a good grip on it? All right? Because I'm going to try to knock it out of your hand. You think I can do it? No, he doesn't know. I can't. I can't do that. See, even the youngest child of God, if he holds the truth tightly, the devil can't take it away. You know what the devil tries to do is he tries to get people, tries to get children, because they're not yet grounded in the truth. So praise God for families, for mom and dad that teach you the truth, right? And they're going to teach you the truth, and you're going to hold that truth tightly, and you're never going to let it go, right? All right, good boy. Give him a hand. We get an illustration of this in the Bible. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 23. And verse 10, it says, Eleazar, one of David's mighty men, was attacking the Philistines. And he fought so long and so hard that his grip on the sword, he couldn't let go. I don't know if you've ever held something so tightly it was hard to let go. He held onto that thing so tightly that they had actually come and they had to peel his fingers off the sword. That's how strong we're to hold the truth. The word of truth. That nobody could even peel it out of our hands. But we have such a firm grip on it. You know, it's kind of interesting there that David's mighty man there, he's fighting over a bean patch. That's what he's fighting over. And he's holding that sword so strongly, so tightly, that he can't let it go. I mean, if somebody could fight over a bunch of beans and it'd be that important to them, how much more should the truth of God's word be important to us? Another way to put it, the writer of Proverbs says, buy the truth and sell it not. There isn't a price high enough that it should ever cause you to lose the truth. That the truth could not be bought from you for any amount of money. Heard a testimony about a boy named Donald. In high school, he was an all-state football player, a linebacker in the state of Texas. Then one day, Donald got saved. He went to his youth pastor and asked, "What do I do now? How do I let people know I got saved?" The youth pastor said, "Take your Bible to school." Well, the only Bible they had in the house was a big family Bible, probably something like this on our communion table this morning. Well, he took it to school because he wanted people to know that he had become a Christian. Now, Donald was a big guy, and he could probably have whipped anybody in the school, so when people walked by and saw him with the Bible, they didn't dare tease him. They just said, "Nice-looking Bible you have there." One day, Donald was walking into the weight room when a classroom was coming out. He told Donald that it was hotter than blank in there. Donald says, "No, it's not. Come here, and I'll show you what hell is really like." So he took his Bible, and he showed him how to get saved. Now, later on, the youth were having a bonfire to get rid of the worldly stuff. You know, we used to have them too. Get rid of books and music and even clothes. Donald was standing off to the side with an envelope in his hands. He stood there looking at that envelope. He looked like he was about ready to throw it in the fire. His youth pastor walked over to him and asked him what he was doing. Donald said, "I've burned these other things, and I thought I'd burn this too." "Well, what is it?" "Here, you can look at it, Pastor." He opened up the envelope, and it was full of letters. All of these letters were football scholarships from some of the big, big colleges. The youth pastor looked at those and handed them back. And Donald asked, "Pastor, could these keep me from being a preacher and going to Bible college?" Now, I'm not saying, please understand, I'm not saying that it's wrong to go to school, become a football player, if that's where God was directing you, but that wasn't where God was directing Donald. So he said, could this keep me from becoming a preacher? And the youth pastor answered truthfully, "Well, yes, it could." And Donald said, "Well, that's what I thought." And he threw it into the fire. Decided that he was going to become, I think he already was, an overcomer. Revelation 2:10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Let me ask you today, are you an overcomer, or are you simply a survivor? Maybe there's areas in your life. We could say, in this area, I'm an overcomer. In this area, I'm an overcomer. But in this area, I'm simply surviving. There might be somebody here today that would say, in this area, I'm an overcomer. In this area, I'm surviving. But in this area over here, I've been overcome. There was this commercial Air France jet going to Tel Aviv, Israel, from Paris, with a stop at Athens, Greece. It landed in Athens, Greece, let off some of its passengers, and took on some new passengers. Some terrorists got aboard. After the plane left the runway, the terrorists took over the aircraft. Instead of flying east, they turned the plane due south. They flew to Libya, and then they landed in the continent of Africa, flying all the way to Uganda. Virtually all the hijacked hostages had been turned loose except the Jews. The world was telling Israel, don't get excited. They would get their people back. They'd get their people back through diplomacy. But nobody knew that Israel was working on Plan B. They had a map of the airport where the hostages were, and there were men already practicing on how they were going to go in and get the people out. They waited until the end of the week and decided if nobody else was going to do anything, they were. So July 3rd, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, two 707s left Israel, along with four C-130 transport planes, powerful planes that can fly a long distance and land in a short distance, take off in a short distance. They carry massive loads. One of the 707s was an air communication plane. The other was an air hospital with doctors and operating rooms and everything else. Nobody in the world knew what was going on except the leaders in Israel and the commandos who were doing the raid. They carefully flew so as not to be detected on anyone's radar. They had no air communication for the whole trip, 2,400 miles, the longest air raid in the history of the world. They came in about 12 at midnight over beautiful Lake Victoria. Those C-130s sat down on the tarmac at that old airport in Entebbe. Nobody even knew they were there. The soldiers came pouring out of the aircraft. They walked into the building and the room where the hostages were. They yelled in the Jewish language, Hebrew language, for the Jews to get down, and they opened fire. They took the hostages, they put them on the planes, and flew back to Israel. The world looked on in amazement because a group of people in Israel refused to be overcome, refused to simply be survivors when others were in captivity. They became overcomers to get their people out, to get them to safety. Here's the reason why. Here's the reason why you need to be an overcomer. Because there are people that are held hostage by the greatest terrorist there is. There are people that are held hostage by Satan. He has taken them captive at his will. We cannot just sit back and be survivors for ourselves. We need to be overcomers for the sake of others. We need to be overcomers so that people can be delivered from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light, the glorious kingdom of our God and of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't be an overcomer just for yourself. Be an overcomer because others need you. Whether they realize it or not, they need you to overcome so that you can help them. There are people that are trapped in sin, and perhaps you are the only one that can get them out, get them to safety. There was great rejoicing in Israel when families were united. There was probably greater joy rejoicing in Israel the next day, July 4th, than there was even in America when we were celebrating our 200th birthday. They'd overcome. You are an overcomer or a survivor or have been overcome. Much of what you are depends upon what you decide. Decide right now that you are going to be an overcomer. Have your heads bowed. Anyone here today, you have been overcome to such an extent that you've not received Jesus as your Savior. That's where it begins. You've not been saved. Remember, the first step in becoming an overcomer is you got to get saved. You got to give your heart, your life to Christ and let Him move in. Are you here today? And you need Jesus into your heart and life. Anyone here? I want to pray for you this morning. Anyone here like that? You've never done that, never asked Jesus into your heart and into your life. But you want to do that today. You need to do that today. Because let me tell you, you will be overcome. You are overcome. It's not your life you're living. Anyone today? Christian? How are you? Are you overcoming? As a young person, as a wife, as a husband, as a parent, are you overcoming? As a brother, as a sister, as a church member, are you surviving? Are you overcoming? Realize the resources that you have. Exercise faith this morning. Maybe there's an area where God is calling you to be an overcomer. You've simply been satisfied with surviving, but you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today. Take a step of faith. Take a step of faith and I will help you. I will cause you to overcome. Father, today, as we take inventory of our life, may we be honest with the Holy Spirit and admit areas where we're just surviving. Admit this so that we can be overcomers. We make that decision today. In these areas of my life, I decide I'm not going to be overcome. I'm not even going to be a simply survivor, but I will overcome. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Worship team is going to sing a song this morning. I don't know if it's just you guys or the congregation can join. But here's what I would like you to do this morning. And I know this takes courage. I know it might take faith on your part. But if you're here today and there's an area in your life that you're just surviving in, would you come to the altar? Or maybe there's an area of your life that you've been overcome in. Could you come to the altar this morning? We would like to pray for you. Maybe not even... You can share your need. You don't even have to share your need. But if you would come today and storm the gates of hell and not leave here today in defeat, but walk out of here in victory today, I just encourage you to come sometime as they sing the song. So God bless you. Worship team. Let's stand, shall we? It's a little bit easier to come from a standing position.
Seated above, enthroned in the Father's love, destined to die, poured out for all mankind. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one.
Would other Christians come, please? Come pray with Joel this morning.
As if
we had the picture of what we need to do. Let's storm the gates of hell with her this morning.
All authority, every victory is yours. All authority, every victory is yours. Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all our praise, you overcame.
My Jesus, you're awesome in power forever. Awesome and great is your name. You overcame.
Power in hand, speaking the Father's plan. You're sending us out, light in this broken land. All authority, every victory is yours. All authority, every victory is yours. Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all our praise, you overcame.
My
Jesus,
you're
awesome in power forever. Awesome and great is your name. You overcame. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome. Everyone sing.
We will overcome
by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Everyone
overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome. Savior, worthy of honor and glory,
worthy of all of our praise, you overcame. My Jesus, you're awesome in power forever. Awesome and great is your name, 'cause you overcame.
Everyone overcome. Everyone overcome. You know what? In a sense, we fail as a church if there's one that's overcome. Because our goal is for everybody to be an overcomer. And if you ever feel like you're being overcome, pick up the phone and call somebody. We are a church. That's what the church is here for. Nobody should have to battle the forces of evil by themselves. So pick up the phone. Call me. Call somebody. Say, Pastor or friend, I'm just being onslaughted. I'm barely hanging on. I'm barely surviving. Would you pray for me? We should all feel like we can do that. Decide right now to be an overcomer. Others need you. You need it for yourself, but others need you to be an overcomer. Father, thank you for this message. Bless it to our hearts. And Lord, as we live this week, may we be aware of these things and may we see things, point out things in our life where we need to be stronger in, who we need to be overcomers. Lord, again, I pray, and when we need each other, I pray, Lord, that we would just overcome the voice of the enemy who would say to us, oh, you don't need anybody. You can do this yourself. Or he might say, you know what, that person, if you call them, they're just going to think less of you. You can do this yourself. Help us not to listen to his lies. Lord, may we stand upon your truth always and be humble enough to realize our weaknesses and our need. Bless our fellowship together, the food that has been provided also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.